This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
We have made it to the final hour, and what an afternoon it has been, with the news now official that the Southeastern Conference has unanimously voted to extend invitations to Oklahoma and Texas. Those two schools will vote tomorrow morning. I believe it's scheduled for 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 in the Texas and Oklahoma time zones to accept the invitation. JJ is in Tuscaloosa, and you are on the air. Hello, JJ.
Hey, Paul, I'm real proud to say our association goes back quite a long time. I remember when you used to come down from Birmingham to interview Coach Bryant or else go to a Coach Bryant press conference.
Right.
And I remember those days very well. In fact, my wife, Peggy, was a part of the athletic department, came home one day and told me what a nice person she'd met and thought his name was Paul Feinbaum, but come to find out she was talking about Cecil Hurt.
You know, I was I had a good chance to visit with Cecil last week, and he mentioned you. We had a good laugh about some of those days. No, I can assure you, back in the days in the 80s, nobody's wife was coming home saying what a nice guy I was.
No, not really. Or saying about Cecil either. Hey, look, Paul, I won't take your time up. I just want to tell you, I've been searching the internet for some painless way to commit suicide, because I see the scenario opening up that Oklahoma goes in one division and Texas in another, and they both win their divisions, and they play for the SEC championship, and Texas wins, and at that point, I no longer want to be alive.
Now, JJ, just for those who don't know you, and I obviously do, how old are you right now?
93. 93. And the other day, Paul asked a lady, I said, how old do you think I am? She didn't say, I said, I'm 93. She said, you don't look a day over 92.
And what people have to know about JJ, that's a little bit of a misnomer, since his name's not really JJ. I mean, I don't know.
I have my grandson is Jonathan Jernigan, and I took it. We called you in Birmingham. Must have been 100 years ago.
But you are about as active of a nine. Not that I'm familiar with many 93-year-olds. but I only hope that if I make it to that age, and I'm not betting on it right now, I do what you do, because have you slowed down at all?
Well, I still go Alabama practices, and we have to get the officials to go to their practices and stay a little bit involved. And yeah, as much as I can, Paul. I'm still, doggone truth, I feel about good as ever felt in my life.
I met this gentleman. Let's see, what it was, I think, right after Coach Saban got to Alabama. We met out in Houston at the Paul Bryant Awards, and you were. I kept asking the people at my table. I said, "Who is this guy at the podium? I've never heard of him." And they told me your name. They said you were from Tuscaloosa. I said, "This is one of the funniest guys I've ever seen." And I learned quite a bit about you since then.
It's been, certainly been my pleasure. By the way, Paul, how long did applause go on after I left? Do you remember?
I can tell you, you weren't getting much applause from Coach Saban, who did not win the award.
That was a long trip back on the plane with him.
Yeah, that was a long trip. I was in the second plane. That was about. There were a lot of Texas, a lot of Alabamians who flew out there for that, and I can't remember who won it, but. We all departed rather quickly.
He was from BYU, I believe. Peterson, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, Boise. It was Coach Peterson from BYU, from Boise State. And I'm like going,
yeah.
We just took three plane loads of folks from Alabama out to Houston, Texas, and they didn't reciprocate one bit.
I wish I'd known how to painlessly commit suicide after that was over, but
you know how long ago that was? It was 2008. I remember in the when we got to the little airport there, I ran into Mac Brown, and he had about five Texas Rangers around him. He was the coach at the University of Texas and still popular.
Yeah, I remember exactly. You're exactly right, and evidently did a creditable job there.
That's what I heard. I bet they'll like Mac. Maybe they'll bring Mac back for the first SEC game.
Hey, that'd be a great good slogan.
Hey, I have to ask you, since you were a close friend of Coach Bryant, what do you think he would have thought about all this?
I hesitate to think. I think he would relish playing Texas, because obviously being from Texas A&M, I'd coach at Texas A&M. I think he'd look forward to that very much. So I don't think he'd have backed up from anybody, Paul. You know that.
No. There's not much chance of that. But it's so interesting to think about the history. I'll never forget when, being at A&M, when they got into the league, and there was so much conversation about Coach Stallings, another person you know very well, and Coach Bryant. I'm wondering I'd like to know what the reaction's been out there at the ranch in Paris, Texas. Something tells me Coach Stallings is not real keen on this one.
I hadn't thought about that, but I think I might give him a call and say, get his viewpoint on it, but I'm sure he'll have one.
I'd like to know. Hey, Eddie, is there anything Coach Stallings has not had a viewpoint on in his life?
No, not in the least.
Hey, great. It's so great to talk to you. I am going to be in Tuscaloosa in a couple of weeks. I hope to see you.
Well, it's certainly be my pleasure. I'll look you up, and you can buy me a beer or something.
Things have been tough, AJ, Eddie. I'll see if maybe I can save up a few bucks. Because what beer do you drink? I mean, at 93, I'm sure you're not drinking light beer.
No. I just put water in. Paul, I like any kind of beer that's cold.
Well, you mark it down. I'll be there in about 4 weeks, and it will be my pleasure to see you. Thanks so much.
My pleasure, Paul. Always a pleasure. Thank you for taking.
Thank you very
call.
Much. The great
Thank
Eddie Conyers, who has been officiating Alabama practices for 50 or 60 years. Just a wonderful man and quite a story. We haven't heard from our favorite Texas A&M fan.
Hey, Mr.
Matt from San
Antonio. I'm sorry I haven't called you back lately. I've been trying to get through your show, and I've been hitting brick wall.
Well, Matt, tell me this. As an Aggie,
okay,
how do you feel about your brethren from Austin joining the SEC?
Oh, come on in, my brethren from Austin. We're still going to kick your sorry little butts. So you whine like little baby needs a diaper. Wait, you're doing hookah porn down on us. So what, we want the SEC to make a rule about it? Get for real, man. You're delusional. Ain't going to happen. They're not going to dominate the SEC. And I hope every Texas fan's listening to me. Because once you come in, you're playing with the big boys. And we're going to kick your sorry little butts. We can go crying back home to Austin. And when you come to Kyle Field in 2022 to play us in Alabama and LSU, oh, we're so enjoy smacking you around, kicking you in the shin to get away with it, you stupid tea sippers.
I got to become more familiar with this tea sipping thing. I hear that a lot. Thanks, Matt. Mark is up next in Austin, Texas. So hello, Matt. Mark, welcome to the show.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, I'm a Sooner fan from Austin, so just like that Aggie fan said, man, you're just getting started with those Austin fans.
So what's all this tea sipping? Is that what Texas fans do?
I'm not quite sure what that was, but just willfully arrogant to say the SEC will go through Austin. I mean, can you even remember the last time they won the Big 12?
I'm having a hard time. I do think it was
exactly 2009.
Yeah, that was the year they were. They barely won that game. I think they beat Nebraska toward the end of the game.
Yeah, on the last second. Yes, three Big 12 championships in how many years was that? 25?
Something like that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if he was talking about swimming or tennis or golf, but I don't think he was talking about football.
I'm not certain of that, Mark. No, hey, thanks so much for the call. We are heading to a break. Again, I realize it's been a busy show. A lot of news has broken, and the biggest news of the day, of course, came about 45 minutes ago when it was made official, the Southeastern Conference president unanimously inviting OU and Texas into the SEC. We'll be right back.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. Call Feinbaum now. 855-242-7285. That's 855-242-PAUL. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show.
We are back, and Gene Sapochoff joins us from Charleston. Haven't had his reaction to not only the news, but what it means to, for everyone else. Gene, thank you very much. It's good to have you back with us. Let's talk big picture first before we get down to some of the schools in the SEC. But you're a college football fan. You cover Gamecocks and Clemson, a lot of other schools in your area. What is your quick reaction to this now moving toward a reality?
Paul, as a journalist, as a longtime college football enthusiast, I love the best possible competition. Can't wait to see games in Norman and Austin and see Alabama and Texas and Oklahoma play Georgia a lot more. But, you know, if I was, say, like a ticket-buying, dues-paying person that liked South Carolina Gamecocks football or Ole Miss, Mississippi State, Kentucky, I don't know. I might not like more losses year in and year out.
And that's really an interesting part of this that, that not a lot of people are talking about. I mean, it was already difficult if you were in that group. I don't want to call it a tier, but it is. And, you know, it's there's so little room or oxygen at the top, and it really just got more difficult. I mean, you can say you can talk all you want about how poorly Texas has played in recent years, but they're still a program that can turn it around on a dime, or you think they can. And we know about Oklahoma being a perennial top four team. So if you are South Carolina, and that's a team that you wrote about today, what gives?
Well, I mean, I'm going to say that it's really cool what happened at South Carolina as a member of the SEC between 2010 and 2017. Frank Martin takes a basketball team to the Final Four. Dawn Staley won a national championship in women's basketball. How cool that the Gamecocks won two national championships in baseball, and Steve Spurrier had three straight 11-2 seasons. But by far, not even close, the most important thing to South Carolina fans are football, football recruiting, spring football, and then everything else, as it is in a lot of places in the SEC. And I mean, Paul, I mean, I know you know this, but Steve Spurrier had four bowl wins in a row in Columbia. All the other South Carolina coaches combined have four bowl wins. It just got a lot tougher.
And we're talking with new programs, with new coaches like South Carolina has, and a lot of excitement. You know, the first goal is always to get to a bowl game, and then you hope to enhance that. But, Gene, right now we don't know what this is going to look like, but there's certainly a strong reason to believe that however they divvy this up, whether it's traditional East-West, whether it's four pods, whether it's some concoction that we've never heard of before, that the number of conference games will likely increase. Otherwise, it's going to be difficult for everyone to see each other. So if the SEC goes to nine, what happens then to a South Carolina and some of the other schools that you just got through talking about?
It's going to be more of a gauntlet than it ever was. And, Paul, my kids always make fun of me for my stupid analogies, but let me try this one. I mean, you love the really nice, expensive restaurant, right? But they just added two more super talented, great chefs, and now that place is even more expensive, and you can't go there as much anymore. Well, Paul Feinbaum can probably go there, but maybe not basic Gamecock fans can go there. Coincidentally, Shane Beamer had a media golf outing today, Paul, and of course, I asked him about this. We asked him about this. And his standard line about Texas and Oklahoma is what he's been saying when I've asked him about, you have to play Georgia and Clemson every year. And he says, no, I get to play Georgia and Clemson. And today it's like, I get to play Texas and Oklahoma. I'm very excited. I trust Greg Sankey. This is good for the conference. What's good for the conference is good for us. I don't know, you know. Paul, Bill Parcells always said, you know, winning helps, losing doesn't. And I think when you're trying to sell college football to a fan base like South Carolina or Mississippi State or Kentucky, that losing doesn't help.
And, Gene, it's a given. Everyone makes more money. But at some point, you know, the amount of money in your coffers is not what really this is about. You said it. It's about winning. And what if you had to look ahead, let's say this happens quickly, and a lot of people think it could. How do you think it affects this part of the league 3 to 5 years down the road? What's it going to look like?
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Really, really hard to say. But I know you know this, but let's face it. A lot of universities, especially public schools, were having a really difficult financial time even before COVID. Then there's COVID. Then there's political issues and stuff like that that we don't need to go into. But I talked to a South Carolina trustee a couple days ago, and the person was just giddy, saying this is the best financial news we've had in a few years here. This is something really, really positive for down the line. As far as what it might look like, Paul, I don't know that we know that the SEC is done extending that footprint. And if maybe they brought some of the newness that included, like, I don't know, NC State, West Virginia, Virginia Tech, Maryland, something like that, that might be better for schools like South Carolina, Kentucky, et cetera.
So let me ask you about that, because, you know, everyone thinks you can't poach the ACC. Maryland left, paid a significant price, 30-some-odd million dollars. We have the FSU president on his way out essentially say, hey, if somebody wants us, we're available. And by the way, Gene, I don't know, you know, maybe he's a little bit too close to the sun. I'm not sure if FSU is quite as lucrative as maybe they once were. What happens to the ACC? Do you think they either try to expand or somebody tries to pick them off?
I think they definitely try to expand, as you've talked about, a lot, you know, with Notre Dame being the first draft pick, obviously, and then something else pie in the sky like Penn State or Maryland or, you know, who knows. But here's the thing. You know, we all know Clemson and Florida State and Virginia Tech have, and those fan bases, more importantly, they fit the SEC mold way more than the ACC. We've talked about that for years, you know. If Dabo Swinney was turning 70 in November instead of maybe turning 52, I'd think that Clemson might be interested in jumping ship. But the only way Clemson would go for an SEC overture right now, if it's something like a 30-plus school plan that Ross Dellinger or some of Ross's Pac-12 sources sort of alluded to the other day.
But Gene, even if we saw that, we're talking about a completely revolutionary situation where conferences would really almost cease to exist. It would be almost like an NFL construct. So realistically, you know the ACC territory. It's not exactly the most attractive league anyway. And some of that is because of FSU's fall from grace. It's pretty much Clemson and everyone else. I know North Carolina is beating its chest right now, but let's be real. And so you got a brand new commissioner. Something has to happen, though. You just can't sit around realistically while the SEC is killing everyone. And you got Notre Dame. I mean, how do you convince Notre Dame to become a member?
I think last year helped a little bit. I think they had a good time in the ACC, and they also learned that they could lose a game, even a conference championship game, and still get to the playoff. Of course, we saw what happened when they did. But realistically, in the conventional sense, like not blowing everything up like you were talking about, I think, yeah, that the ACC tries to add a few schools, starting with Notre Dame. If that doesn't work, I don't know. I think the fallback is something like they hope better than Central Florida and Cincinnati, maybe, you know, Penn State and Maryland or something
like that.
Hold on,
Gene. You mentioned Penn State a couple of times. I realize I'm in another world sometimes, but have I missed something about Penn State and the ACC that you and others know?
No. I'm just saying that's what ACC dreamers always seem to mention them after Notre Dame. I don't think that's happening. I think they're, you know, from what I understand, quite happy in the Big Ten. So, no, I don't think that's happening. I'm just saying that's the dream scenario, and the fallback is more like UCF or West Virginia or Cincinnati or something like that.
Okay, let me ask you about West Virginia, because you know that train happened a couple of years ago, and you and I know that the folks in Chapel Hill and Charlottesville and Durham, you know, Wake Forest, I mean, they essentially turned their nose at West Virginia. Can you see a circumstance where they would, you know, these, you know, the bow tie wearing elite of the aforementioned campuses would suddenly welcome Gordon Gee as the chancellor there and say, okay, Morgantown, come on down?
40% chance, something like that. It's just probably fifth or sixth in line of their, you know, schools. But yeah, I could see that. It wouldn't be stunning, especially under the circumstances and them probably wanting to get 16. But hey, the best thing the ACC needs right now is for Florida State, Miami, and Virginia Tech to get back to being somewhat good, not even just real good, just somewhat good.
Gene Sapochoff with a reality check here. I always hate when we get real journalists on here that then spoil the fun. Gene, thanks for ruining the party.
Thanks so much, Paul.
Appreciate it. We'll make up for that. We'll find a cheerleader tomorrow, I can assure you.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.